He eased into the chair, his crisp robe settling around him, and smiled. "Good morning," he said into the microphone. Everyone smiled back. To his great satisfaction, the room was filled to capacity. A quick deputy count revealed 8 armed and ready. He studied the feelings. There were no gaps left. Some of the lawyers were practically touching one another. "Are all the parties present?" he asked. Heads shook from around the tables. "I need to identify everyone," he said, reaching for papers. The first petition was filed by Rex Phelan. Before the words settled, Hark Gettys was on his feet, clearing his throat. "Your Honour, I'm Hark Gettys," he boomed towards the bench, "and I represent Mr. Rex Phelan. Thank you, you may keep your seat." He went around the table, methodically taking names of the heirs and the lawyers. All the lawyers, the reporters, scribbled them as fast as the judge. 6 heirs in all, 3 ex-wives, everyone was present. 22 lawyers, Wycliffe mumbled to himself. "Do you have the will, Mr. Stafford?" he asked. Josh stood, holding a different file. "I do. Would you please take the witness stand?" Josh made his way around the tables and passed the court reporter to the witness stand, where he raised his right hand and swore to tell the truth. "You represent Troy Phelan?" Wycliffe asked. "I did, for a number of years." "Did you prepare a will for him?" "I prepared several." "Did you prepare his last will?" There was a pause, and as it grew longer, the Phelans inched closer. "No, I did not," Josh said slowly, looking at the vultures. The words were soft, but they cut through the air like thunder. The Phelan lawyers reacted much more quickly than the Phelan heirs, several of whom weren't sure what to make of it. But it was serious and unexpected. Another layer of tension settled around the tables. The courtroom grew even quieter. "Who prepared his last will and testament?" Wycliffe asked, like a bad actor reading a script. "Mr. Phelan himself." "It wasn't so." They had seen the old man sit at the table with lawyers all around him, and their 3 shrinks, Zadol, Flo, and Teason, directly opposite the table. He had been declared sane on the spot, and seconds later had taken a thick will prepared by Stafford and one of his associates, declared it to be his, and signed it. There was no dispute about this. "Oh my God," Hark Gettys said under his breath, but loud enough for everyone to hear. "When did he sign it?" Wycliffe asked. "Moments before he jumped to his death." "Is it handwritten?" "It is." "Did he sign it in your presence?" "He did. There were other witnesses. The signing was also videotaped." "Please hand me the will." Josh deliberately withdrew a single envelope from the file and passed it up to His Honour. It looked awfully small. There was no way it contained enough language to convey to the Phelans what was rightfully theirs. "What the hell is this?" Troy Jr. hissed at the nearest lawyer. But the lawyer couldn't respond. The envelope held only 1 sheet of yellow paper. Wycliffe removed it slowly for all to see, unfolded it carefully, then studied it for a moment. Panic seized the Phelans, but there was nothing they could do. Had the old man screwed them one last time? Was the money slipping away? Maybe he had changed his mind and given them even more. Around the tables, they nudged and elbowed the lawyers, all of whom were remarkably quiet. Wycliffe cleared his throat and leaned one bit closer to the microphone. "I'm holding here a 1-page document purporting to be a will handwritten by Troy Phelan. I'll read it straight through. The last testament of Troy L. Phelan, I, Troy L. Phelan, being of sound and disposing mind and memory, do hereby expressly revoke all former wills and codicils executed by me, and dispose of my estate as follows. To my children, Troy Phelan Jr., Rex Phelan, Libigail Jeter, Mary Ross Jackman, Gina Strong, and Ramble Phelan, I give each a sum of money necessary to pay off all the debts of each as of today. Any debts incurred after today will not be covered by this gift. If any of these children attempt to contest this will, then this gift shall be nullified as to that child." Even Ramble heard the words and understood them. Gina and Cody started crying softly. Rex leaned forward, elbows on the table, face buried in his hands, his mind numb. Libigail looked past Bright to Spike and said, "That son of a bitch." Spike concurred. Mary Ross covered her eyes as her lawyer rubbed her knee. Her husband rubbed the other one. Only Troy Jr. managed a poker face, but not for much longer. There was more damage yet to come. Wycliffe wasn't finished. "To my ex-wives, Lillian, Janie, and Tira, I give nothing. They were adequately provided for in their divorces." At that moment, Lillian, Janie, and Tira were wondering what the hell they were doing in the courtroom. Had they really expected to receive more cash from a man they hated? They felt the stares and tried to hide among the lawyers. The reporters and journalists were downright giddy. They wanted to take notes, but they were afraid of missing a single word. Some couldn't help but grin. The remainder of my estate I give to my daughter, Rachel Lane, born on November 2, 1954, at Catholic Hospital in New Orleans, Louisiana, to a woman named Evelyn Cunningham, now deceased. Wycliffe paused, though not for dramatic effect. With only two small paragraphs left, the damage was done. Now $11 billion had been given to an illegitimate heir he'd not read about. The feelings sitting before him had been stripped. He couldn't help but look at them. I appoint my trusted lawyer, Joshua Stafford, as executor of this will, and grant unto him broad discretionary powers in its administration. For the moment they had forgotten about Josh, but there he sat in the box like the innocent witness of a car wreck, and they glared at him with as much hatred as possible. How much had he known? Was he a conspirator? No doubt he could have done something to prevent this. Josh fought to keep a straight face. This document is intended to be a holographic will. Every word has been written by my hand, and I hereby sign it.